Good afternoon, everybody. How is everybody tonight? Very good, thank you. Tonight, we're going to be in the Epistle of 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 2. We're going to go through verses 5 through 7. I'm going to read those and then I'll open in prayer and we'll get started. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for today. We thank You so much for Your creation, the gorgeous weather. We thank You for the rain that we received. Be with all of us tonight. Help us to open our hearts so that we may understand the word that we're going to hear and go over tonight, Lord. Be with those who could not make it, that are out sick or that are ill. Please help them to heal. Please lift them up, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This message that we're going to give tonight, in addition to leading and feeding their sheep, godly pastors and spiritual shepherds must also warn their flock about false teachers and false doctrine that they spread. This happens a lot. Much of the same as the Apostle Paul charged the Ephesian elders. John is writing this letter to protect his flock of faithful believers in Asia Minor by reminding them of God's truth. Study the truth and you will be aware of what is false. In Titus 1, 7 through 9, for a bishop, and I added in there, and pastor, for a bishop and pastor must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word that he had been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, to both to exhort, and convict those who contradict. So he will point out if someone is teaching false doctrine. At least make us aware of it. So John is not sharing second-hand information here. He is passing on what he personally heard from him, Jesus Christ. The apostles were eyewitnesses and ear witnesses of Christ's teaching through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They put pen to paper to record the truth that we may learn from it and teach others from it. We can receive His truth with full confidence because God is the source Himself. The truth comes from God.
Amen.
So, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So, verse 5 in 1 John chapter 1 says, this is the message which I have heard from Him, speaking of Jesus, and declare to you, which, as I'll say later, fulfills a promise, fulfills a commandment. And declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So John is declaring the word that he has heard from God. The word that he has heard from God. He's declaring this word to his flock of faithful believers. They are facing a crisis from false teachers. Too many people going around and profiting over preaching false doctrine to people. So by John declaring, announcing the words of God is a fulfillment of the Great Commission, which Dan said this morning, go and tell. That's the Reader's Digest, abridged version right there, go and tell. But Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, even to the end of age. So that's what we're here to do. That's our primary goal, to go out and spread the word. Go and tell. So John states in this verse that God is light, and in Him no darkness at all. As we know, Jesus Christ is a perfect source of revelation regarding the nature and character of God. Why? Because He is God. John 14:7 says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. So God is light. God is also Spirit. And God is love. There are many scriptures in the New Testament, and probably in the Old Testament as well, that record God is light. Light represents the truth of God, the truth embodied in His Word, the truth embodied right here in the Bible. Light is also linked with virtue and moral conduct. God is light is referring to divine light. Anybody got any comments or questions? Okay. In Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. If truth and righteousness are absent from someone's life, but only darkness exists, that person, no matter what he or she says, does not possess eternal life. That's where we come in, to try to change their mind, help them to make the right choices. Matthew 7:17-19. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we all know what that means, right? Okay. If we're living in the darkness, we're going to be thrown in the fire. Any comments?
Have this light.
That's right. Everything's right here on how to get it right. You don't, but you better be prepared. Could end tomorrow. In Him, there is no darkness at all. God is absolutely perfect in truth and holiness. So obviously, we as believers fall far short from that perfection. But we manifest a God-like desire for the true Word, the light of God. Does anybody know what manifest means? Does anybody not know what manifest means? I'll tell you later. I got it coming up here. No, it's an action, showing God's love, walking in the Spirit, stuff like that. I'll get more in depth in a few minutes.
Bring it forth.
Yes. So, God's essence is pure, holy, and without any trace of evil or deceit. Understanding this helps us trust in His character and His promises. in God there is no darkness at all. Meaning, He is absolutely, completely trustworthy and righteous. This challenges us to examine areas of our lives where darkness may reside, and we need to seek His light to replace that darkness. We need to seek His truth. We need to seek His love to replace that darkness. I cannot speak for all of you, but I will admit that there are times of darkness that pop up in my life. It might only be in a thought. You see somebody driving, doing something silly. I'm going to say silly. I'll explain that in a minute. Do something silly, and right away you got a negative thought about that person. And you're not showing them any compassion or mercy. Now, I said silly because my granddaughters said that stupid is a bad word, and I'm not allowed to use it. So I have to say silly. I've tried all of them. They wouldn't fall for none of them. But silly, they accept. So that's the way it goes. And that's okay that they believe stupid is a bad word. We shouldn't be calling anybody stupid. That's it. Holding me accountable. So the early church faced false teachings, and so do we today, every day. Just turn on the news, listen to YouTube videos. There's so many preachers out there that just don't have it right. You can't listen. And when you hear that, turn it off. Don't listen to it. Don't let it in. If you want to, what you heard and you're not sure about, turn it off, look it up. The early church faced false teachings, and so do we today. Knowing that God is light helps us discern truth from error and remain steadfast in our faith. Walking in the light fosters genuine fellowship with God and other believers as we share in His truth and love. We share in His truth and love. Every day we're here, we share in His truth and love. We should out in the world, we should be sharing His truth and love with other people. We talked about that in Bible study this morning, on what is a neighbor and the parable of the Good Samaritan. So, very telling, encouraging. Ever since the fall of man many years ago, mankind has tried to deny the reality of sin, even though every human being is aware of its presence. People today minimize and redefine the definition of sin to make themselves feel better. They blame failures, hard times, and even how others treat them is why they sin. Jesus taught that every person is sinful at the very core of his or her being. In James 1, 14, 5, 14 to 15, excuse me, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Eternal death. Any comments? Okay. False teachers consist of those who ignore their sins as if they are not reality to them. False teachers end up believing their own lies and their own false teachings. You cannot teach false truths without lying. And we know that that's a sin. False teachers are those that claim to have fellowship with God. However, that claim is meaningless if one continues to walk in the darkness. Our walk refers to our manner of life and our conduct. It is there in our walk that genuine salvation is manifest. We cannot just say that we are saved and have eternal life. We can't just say it. It ain't just that. We can say it all we want, but it may not mean anything. In the Bible, manifest means to make something known, visible, or clear, revealing God's presence, character, or purposes, often through Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. So that helps us with manifest. It helped me anyhow. You may already may have known all that. So in Romans 8:4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That should be our goal. Amen. Increasing in the knowledge of God. To profess one thing and live in contradiction to it, you're lying. No nicer way to put it, but you're lying. To lie and not practice the truth is not walking in the Spirit and bearing good fruit. There is no love for God or your neighbor, and definitely no humility or obedience to the light, the truth. Jesus made the Jews aware of their superficial earthly religion by declaring them that they were the eye of the lamp of the body. And in Matthew 6:22-23, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So what Jesus is saying to them is that if you are in the dark physically, in other words, being blind, that's a bad thing. But being in darkness spiritually is much, much worse. Much, much worse. Anyone in spiritual darkness is not doing fantastic. Let's put it that way. Jesus is the only way to God's light. John taught in his gospel that Jesus was the true light for a sin-darkened world. In John 1:4-5, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The sinners of the world can't comprehend the life that we have in Jesus Christ. They just can't comprehend it. The darkness can't comprehend the light. But sinful humanity prefers the darkness over light. In the place that I'm at right now, I don't understand that. But it happens. It's evident everywhere. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 19-21, Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have done what they have done in God." Any comments or questions?
Because they can't deny.
They're being held accountable. Yeah. That's right. So no one who claims to be a Christian and yet live in the darkness, meaning that they continue practicing evil deeds, is saved. True fellowship with God requires walking in the light. It's a requirement. In other words, walking in the truth and aligning our lives with His truth and holiness. Claiming fellowship with God while living in sin is self-deception and contradicts the truth of the gospel. You can't love God and live in sin. Not saying we don't sin, but you can ask for forgiveness and repent of that sin. Turn from that sin. Believers are called to actively practice the truth, demonstrating their faith through righteous living and walking in the Spirit. Light and darkness cannot coexist. I saw a cute little meme one time where mother goes in, turns the light on to wake the kid up for school. And the kid said, "Turn the dark back on." So believers must choose to walk in the light, rejecting sinful darkness. It is a choice that we have to make, or we have already made in our lives. Acknowledging and turning away from sin is essential for maintaining genuine fellowship with God and others. And turning away, as we all know, means repenting and acknowledging that God is always right. We are not to doubt His word at all. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So walking in the light implies living in truth, righteousness, and holiness. Biblically, light often symbolizes purity and divine truth. In John, the Gospel of John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life," eternal life, life in God's kingdom. Paul uses walk in his letters to describe the effect, not of justification, but of sanctification. Walk is a verb expressing continuous action. Unfortunately, it only applies to some people. Those who walk in the light do so only because the power of God has regenerated them as new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." New creations in Christ may behave in a way that reflects the power of God's righteous life in them, just as God Himself is in the light. Those who walk in the light will experience fellowship with one another, which comes from their union with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To all who walk in the light, God grants His grace so that throughout their lives, our lives, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us and them from all of their sin. This is not saying that Christians will not struggle with sin anymore, for no one will ever be totally free from sin while in this unredeemed flesh. No one. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Any comments? Okay. Keep looking back there. See Curtis's hand jump up there. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do things that you wish." You want to do something you shouldn't do? The Holy Spirit's right there to let you know. No. That's not a good idea. Not a good idea. Our Father won't be happy. So in Romans 7:18, "For I know that it's in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Where do we find that? With the Holy Spirit. So walking in the light involves living in accordance with God's truth and holiness. It requires a daily commitment, daily, to follow Christ's example and teachings. True fellowship among Christians is rooted in shared faith and obedience to God. It is strengthened by mutual encouragement, accountability, and love. We are our accountability. The blood of Jesus is the means by which believers are cleansed from sin. This cleansing is both a one-time event at salvation and an ongoing process of sanctification. Sanctification stops the day we're with the Lord. Walking in the light includes acknowledging our sins and turning from them. Confession and repentance are vital for maintaining fellowship with God and others. If someone went around here and started acting evil, talking evil, and wouldn't listen, you wouldn't want to talk to them anymore. They wouldn't listen to you. You don't want to talk to them. We start acting that way, we cut off our communication with God, with the Lord, until we repent. The Holy Spirit's always there telling us, slow down, back up, turn around. As followers of Christ, believers are called to reflect His light in a dark world. This involves living out the gospel in word and deed, pointing others to Jesus. Any comments or questions? Yes. No. We don't have a problem making excuses for ourselves. Yeah, but no, it don't work that way. Don't work that way. Any other comments or questions? All right, well, we're going to have an early night, but I guess there's still some football games playing?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Oh, okay.
Of course I know.
All right. So let me close in prayer and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, You are our pure light. And in You we know that there is no darkness at all. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, whose blood we know cleanses us from all unrighteousness, removes our sins. Please help us to walk in Your truth and fellowship with You, Lord, reflecting Your light to others, so that they too may see Your goodness and find forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, please be with all of us on our journey home tonight. Keep us safe. Protect us from the evil things in the world, Lord. Help us to understand the truth. Help us to live in Your light and reflect it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.